Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain. What's the future of AR and VR in supply chain? I'm Bob Troublecock, and joining me today is Krutin Shah. Now, I got to know Krutin back in 2019 when he was the director of distribution for Adore.me Services, an e-tailer and retailer of women's lingerie. At the time, Krutin had just finished going live with Adore.me's first distribution center and a highly automated distribution center at that. So he's no stranger to automation. Today, we're going to talk about a subject I'm hearing a lot about these days. Now, I do think it's still an emerging technology, but I want to find out what's happening in augmented and virtual reality in the supply chain, especially in distribution centers and factories. Krutin brings a level of expertise to this topic as well. He's the Chief Strategy Officer of Superfan Studio, a Techstars company, and a startup in AR and VR. Krutin, welcome.
Thank you, Bob, for having me this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm really excited about this topic. Both topics, actually, how AR, VR, relates overall and relates to supply chain. So, you know, more than happy to have this conversation and discussion with you, and happy to get started.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. So first, just a little introduction. While Superfan Studios focuses on consumer applications, I've asked Krutin to put his supply chain hat on and look at the technology from that point of view. So Krutin, let's get started. First question, and you just alluded to it. So most of us are probably familiar with VR from the headsets our kids are using for gaming. And there's both these terms, VR and AR. Can you explain the difference between the two? Because I think it's confusing for most of us, or at least for me.
Sure, definitely. You know, there is actually a lot of terms that are, you know, used interchangeably, but they mean slightly different things, like AR, VR, and there are many more Web3 terms that come out along with it. But what's the easiest way to differentiate between AR and VR is VR, as in virtual reality, transports you as a user or a consumer into a different world or different. So think of it as you wear a headset and you are transported to, you know, Mars or Moon or somewhere else, and you start to see what is happening there, versus AR brings something else into your environment where you are. So, you know, using a headset or a glass or a phone or something, you would basically project you'll augment your reality with something else. So whether you add a character, whether you add, in supply chain case, a machine that you would want to see in that spot, or an activity. So really the key difference between AR and VR, for one to think, is if you are sitting in your chair and you want to be transported into a different, you know, location, world, then you use virtual reality to go there and, you know, understand that scenery or surroundings. AR will bring that scenery into your current environment where you are sitting. So it uses, you know, but again, both of them, you know, change your reality where you are. One takes you somewhere else, other brings you back things.
Great, thank you. So I've started, and we'll talk about this a little bit more down the a little later in this conversation. But you know, I've had conversations primarily with third party logistics providers who are bringing, and I think based on your description, bringing AR into their facilities. But it still feels like it's very, very much an emerging solution. So you know, if you think of the Gartner hype cycle, is it ready for prime time in an industrialized setting, in your view? And where are we on the maturity scale?
So, you know, it's still emerging. It's not, I would say, 100% prime time ready for a few different reasons. It is close to ready, and there will be a lot of applications that will come out. But really where it comes down to is to use AR, effectively, you need to have a lot of underlying whether it's 3D models, it's the content that needs to be projected, all of that creation, content creation needs to happen in the background. So for a user to be able to use it effectively, that is where the maturity level isn't there yet. So think of it as in the early days of industrialization or a few years ago, you know, people started using things like AutoCAD and things like that extensively. So they got to, you know, build 3D structures, visualize things. Now you have to take that and convert it into a AR format and then project it into your environment if you were to think of it that way. And a lot of companies don't even have good, sometimes good 2D images, let alone be 3D models to effectively use AR. Can you use, you know, 2D images for AR? Sure. Will it be successful? Will it give you the same level of, you know, use and satisfaction? No. So that's where the gap is. And there are a lot of companies working to, you know, mitigate that gap. So I would expect that within the next, you know, 12 to 24 months, there'll be more and more solutions that will be there that will help, you know, industrial settings to use AR in their applications. You know, one thing that we are already starting to see is, you know, in training and maintenance and those kind of environments, even within industrialization, AR and VR are being pushed heavily. But again, that will only increase. And, you know, one thing that has sort of helped in the last 2 years is sort of COVID has forced a lot of people to work from home, and they have to now, you know, imagine themselves, you know, working in these, some of these settings while they're from home. So, you know, for even for those settings, AR and VR will become very prominent. AR specifically will start to become very, very prominent in those settings.
Now, you may have just answered my next question, but if we think about supply chain processes, particularly inside the four walls of a DC or a factory, which of the two technologies, AR or VR, is most potentially applicable and why?
I think AR is more applicable because you would want to, you are going to be in the four walls and you're going to bring something to that environment as opposed to transport somebody from those four walls into a different reality. I mean, but there is also applications of VR, if you were to think that way, will be slightly different application. So think of it as a, you know, when, you know, remotely driven forklifts become a viable solution, and there are, let's say somebody driving forklift from home effectively using joysticks or gaming technology, then you're likely to use VR in that instance to have drive those forklifts because you're at home and you're driving the forklift. So you're basically going into the DC environment. But if you're a picker or a packer or doing something else within the four walls, then you would basically be using AR as an application. So, you know, depending upon the specific use case, I think both will have applications. If you're physically inside the four walls, I would think AR would have bigger application. But if you're trying to do something remotely into the four walls, then you would use VR.
Before we talk about the tasks, and I want to go to that to a moment, and you just touched on some of them. But I just wondered, I was thinking back to, gosh, this goes back 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember, you know, talking to some of the software, like some of the WMS companies, but also some of the, I'm not sure quite how to, they're almost like traffic managers with inside, you know, inside the four walls of a warehouse or a distribution center, for instance, putting cameras on a lift truck that could scan, you know, 2D barcode images up on the ceiling. And then therefore you could get a visual representation of what was going on in your warehouse. Similarly with the WMS giving you like a representation based on scans and things, what was happening down on the warehouse floor. And we were calling it visualization. And I wondered if, as you were just talking about these things, when we start talking about augmented and virtual reality, are we kind of like visualization, what was happening in, you know, WMSs and transportation management inside the four walls, like those kind of systems on steroids?
Essentially, meaning AR helps with visualization at the end of the day, so does VR. But it is visualization of sorts. Is it exactly the same? Is it, you know, different? Is it better? I think the technology has improved certainly a lot in the last, you know, 5 years, meaning the last year alone, you know, with Apple's new phones, they have AR built into the iPhone, so, or iOS in general. So, you know, that has made it much easier for you to deploy a lot of these technologies. So yes, it is visualization sort of on steroids.
Do just thinking about this, I might be like way off base, which is the reason I'm throwing it off. But I'm almost wondering, think of something like event management. There was a period where inventory visibility and event management were standalone applications. This is like 2002, 2003. And then all of a sudden, you know, SAP, Oracle, Manhattan, you know, Red Prairie, now Blue Yonder, incorporated those as features within their product. And so the standalone, you know, you no longer went out and bought an event management solution. It was just part of, you know, Manhattan Associates or EDA Open or something like that. Do we see AR and or VR becoming integrated and a feature in a, you know, in a WMS system or some sort of an operating, you know, management system inside the four walls? Or am I like way off base on that?
No, it's a highly possible. Will it be in the next 12 months? Unlikely.
Yeah.
But will it be down the road? It very well could be, right? Like, I mean, you almost think of it this way. All of this is ultimately, you know, vision driven, right? So more and more computer vision and other applications are becoming mainstream within, you know, the warehousing, robotics, in general, all the applications. So think of it as a time in WMS where, you know, people will have images of the product that they are picking or sorting or receiving or whatever they're doing with it. And they would have image for a reference. Now, instead of having an image, if you're introducing a new thing, could you have a handheld device that actually, you know, projects next to the, you know, item that you are picking or you're just receiving from a quality control perspective, the exactly what it needs to be, and the user can compare a projected AR item with the actual item that they have received and compare and say, yes, it looks great, it looks perfect. Can you do it? Maybe. You know, but is that something that will happen right away? Unlikely. So I think some of it in some form or shape will get incorporated within certain technologies. But, you know, which technologies will, you know, adopt versus which technologies will sort of, you know, fade away, we'll only know based off of, you know, how true gains are to be realized by using some of these technologies. Because the biggest question still till date is, you know, how much better is it to use just an image versus project an item next to the actual item?
So let's talk about the tasks that we perform in facilities. You've touched on this a little bit. Think about the, you know, what goes on inside the four walls. What tasks do you think are ripe for AR or VR? You know, I hear about MRO, we hear about picking. I know that GE Appliances is using I don't know if it's AR or VR, but to train lift truck drivers, you know, where they get to operate in a virtual setting. So when you think about, you know, the tasks, what's ripe for the application of either of these technologies?
I think quite a few tasks will be ripe. Like, I almost see from the four walls, like, can at receiving, you know, quality control, can they use some form of AR? I think, yes, they could use to, you know, identify products, differentiate between products, just to have a full understanding, view it in 3D kind of a scenario, etc. You know, can you do the same at picking? You know, if you were picking, you know, a warehouse with 25, 30,000 SKUs, and hard to differentiate kind of products, could you use some of this? Yeah, potentially you could use that. I would think it's less likely in sort of scenarios. I mean, even in packing, if you were to do quality control at the end of it, maybe you could, but for the actual, you know, packing, it's unlikely to be used. Similarly, you know, if I go to some of the VR applications, I think, you know, remotely driving fork trucks or other machines or equipment, could you basically wear a headset and think that you are in that setting, and then you know you reach out and you use your joysticks or whatever devices to drive or do those things. I think those are good examples of where, you know, it will get potentially mainstream. Again, in some cases, it may not get because, you know, as you say, autonomous cars, autonomous forklifts, where there's not even human driving from elsewhere, then it won't get. So I think it's going to be both that we'll have to sort of test these applications to realize, you know, the potential of gains to be realized. But I think these are primarily applications where you'll start to see.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think are going to be the hurdles to adoption or acceptance by workers? Let me give you two examples. This is going to be kind of a long setup, but I know of one 3PL that is using augmented reality for pick-to-cart. And they're providing the worker with a lot of information in their solution, including, you know, instead of having lights on the cart, they're using the augmented reality to replace the lights. I just talked with another 3PL that has implemented AR, and they're doing it as sort of a multimodal kind of application where they're also still using, I think, voice as opposed to scanning. They said they're using a smaller device and they're limiting the information that they're giving to the worker from AR because they said it was just like sort of like sensory overload. So they're using, location, skew, and quantity via the device. But then the worker's using either voice or barcode, I can't remember which, for instance, for location confirmation. They were trying to simplify it. So, you know, long intro. What are the hurdles to this technology?
There is a few things to be resolved here, right? Originally, the cost of, you know, these devices was expensive, or to put it in your devices was expensive. Now that cost has started to come down and come down substantially. So at least the hardware hurdle will sooner or later get to resolve over a period of time. The other thing that you'll start to see is that there's a lot of, you know, if you start to store this information, again, like, you know, where did you see it? What did you see it? How did you pick it? Or whatever the application is, you'll start to store that data. So data storage will become, and how do you manage that data to improve? You know, if everybody starts to use that, it'll create a lot of data for somebody to, you know, sift through and manage if you wanted to go back and review. But again, that's a smaller hurdle, but definitely something that people will start to look at. And then the third part of it is just having that, you know, in your example where, you know, you're saying that somebody's using AR to, instead of having pick to light, the light is virtually displayed through AR, you know, having that mapping done, having those models available, it's the creation of those, you know, models that takes time and effort. And there is a time and money investment to get to that point. So it's the willingness to invest that upfront into creating of those models will be the other hurdle. But I think as people start to create what I would call digital twins anyways, those hurdles will start to reduce further. So then it will be a matter of question is, what is the right technology for your particular application? You know, again, like if you're a warehouse that's just, you know, like a pallet storage facility, then your application may be like very different than if you're a warehouse that's picking from 25,000 different SKUs, then your need is slightly different. So I think, or your ROI would be better in one or the other application, depending upon what you use. So really, the hurdles will get better over a period of time as you start to build the infrastructure for it. We're almost in infrastructure building phase for these applications. So right now, the infrastructure is not as robust as it needs to be for, you know, prime time, but I think it will be robust in the next 24 months for prime time.
Two more questions, and you just kind of hit on one of them. So where's the ROI? In other words, whenever we get one of these new technologies, what I always wonder is, so why is it better, you know, than scanning, voice, or, you know, pick and put to light?
So I think there's two ways the ROI will come in here. So if you're a facility where you have a high chance of, you know, errors or accuracy needs to be almost 100% or 100%, then you need to have multiple, you know, checks and balances could this act as one more layer of check and balance for the user or the picker to, you know, use at all points of facility? Yes, that's where you might get the ROI from. The other is, you know, it makes training a lot more easier. So let's say you have, you know, again, a facility with tons of different SKUs, and you get new people to come in, and they're not familiar with, you know, your product line, then it makes it simple, because now instead of having just an image, you could use one of these technologies to help you with picking or packing or, you know, receiving or any of those things. Speed part of it, is it going to be faster than any of the other technologies? I think it's yet to be seen, because we are still in early stages of using it, and we have to really test, you know, does it work efficiently at scale? You know, in smaller applications, on smaller pilots, it shows that it could be promising, but we haven't seen, or at least I haven't seen, very concrete examples where, you know, it makes speed a lot more faster than, you know, maybe just replacing it humans by fully by robots, and then, you know, robots can do it, they might do it faster. So, you know, we'll have to see where is that speed factor coming in. But definitely in terms of simplifying or accuracy, you'll start to see some ROI to come in.
Yeah, and the training one, I think you can't underestimate that. I know using the GE appliances example, they use it to train lift truck drivers before they put them out on the floor as lift truck drivers, and or to certify them for different duties. As an example, in one of their big appliance warehouses, they don't have racks. They stack, you know, washing machines and freezers and refrigerators and ovens five high on the floor. And they said, you know, it's pretty intimidating for a lift truck driver to be, you know, raising a 500-pound freezer up, you know, to the fifth level to stack it. And so they certify them, you know, on this equipment virtually before they, you know, let them attempt it out on the floor, like an airline pilot, you know, does certifications in a simulation. And they say it speeds up the training. So I think that one really kind of resonated with me. Last question, put your former DC operator hat back on. You know, if you were still an operator, or you were consulting with an operator and you wanted to look into VR, AR, where would you start, and how do you identify areas where you might gain value?
I mean, I think you almost take the same approach as you would evaluate any other technology. Like if you were to implement, you know, evaluate a new WMS or new material handling system or anything of that sort, you know, where are your pain points, and, you know, what are the solutions out there that can help you evaluate, and what is the ROI you're going to ultimately get on your investment, and how quickly can you deploy? Sometimes it's a combination of, like, you know, you might be able to very quickly deploy some of these applications without disrupting your existing operations. And that would be probably be, you know, more advantageous, or, you know, something that you may want, as opposed to, you know, ripping out the whole process and putting in a new process. So I think if I was to put a consulting hat on, I'd almost see, you know, where are still my bigger bottlenecks or improvement opportunities? And what is it that needs to be improved? Is it the accuracy? Is it the speed? Is it the training? Do I need to simplify? And depending upon what is it that you need to do for that particular process, or holistically, you start to dig into, are there AR or VR applications that will help me do that better? You know, as you said, training is one great area. You know, there could be picking, could be another good area where you'll start to see. Or quality control could be another area where you'll start to see these applications to come out first before they go into other areas of the facility.
Great. Thanks, Krutin. That's all the time we have today. Again, I want to thank Krutin Shah for joining me, and thank you for listening. I hope you'll be back for our next episode for Supply Chain Management Review. I'm Bob Troublecock.
Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.